When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's going on? You're listening to the Film Drunk Broadcast. I'm Vince Mancini, and I am joined, as always, by, you know him, you love him, he's the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Leeb.
People think I'm insane because I am lumming all the time. That is Paranoid by Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one, right?
That's the one, yeah, but yeah. You did it. You
I know
made
two
it sound
blacks.
Like a, what do you call it? A banjo was playing it, but it was not.
That would be cool. Could we do that?
I mean, we could. You know how to play the banjo?
No, I wish I did, though.
Me too. I would honestly learn to play the banjo if I had not had children.
Mm.
Like, if I could go back in time and be like, Francesca.
So you gave the world an heir.
No.
But you denied it the next comedy banjo crossover superstar after Steve Martin.
Exactly. I could have been the next Steve Martin. I could have been on stage doing the King Tut dance, which, great
right,
bit.
Just great Shop bit. Girl.
Yeah, I could have been writing Shop Girl. But can I just circle back to, you know, great bit.
Mm.
It's like he's dancing.
it's like
an Egyptian guy.
He's doing an Egyptian guy.
You know what I love is
I mean,
that,
isn't it kind of
what?
Like, isn't it kind of a parody, a weird parody of like public broadcasting or something? The way I always interpreted that bit is that it's the same as the Lonely Island's Sloth's video.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know the Sloth's video by the Lonely Island, but I mean,
there's like a framing device that like. There's some kids at Brooklyn Technical High School, and this is the video they made about sloths, and it's not really about sloths. It's just kind of a stupid thing. I feel like the King Tut is maybe just that, like without the framing device.
There is a big piece of context that we're missing. It like, I think someone explained it to me once. It was something about like the King Tut exhibit had just come out.
Yeah.
And, it was very popular and he made a song about it.
Yeah.
And
he was just doing boomer word scat. They love that.
It's funny if you had to be there. Mm-hmm. I love that comedy, Ages Like Milk. It's my favorite thing about it is that, you know, like I've said before, we're never going to be able to explain why I think you should leave is funny to our children. You know what I mean?
But you know what we will be able to explain?
What?
How funny the San Diego Hammer, Joey Avery, is.
Oh, our guest today. What's up, dude?
Hey, great to be here, guys. I'm like a breastfeeding mother who's ready to leave a party. I'm all pumped up and ready to go.
Hey.
Do they? I don't know if they
explain
pump
explain that
up.
To your fucking kids. How
about
that?
Yeah.
I don't know
that
if they
joke,
works.
Idiot child.
I don't know if they have to pump up before they leave the party. I feel like they'd have to.
No, they're into
it. She's getting. She likes it. She's pumping up in order to, like, once she, you know, Vince, not
so
everyone
has
to explain.
So the baby can eat the milk and then she goes to the party? Is that it?
No,
she's at the party, but it's pumping
it.
Time.
Yes, yeah. It's time to pump, and so she pumps.
She's already pumped, but now she wants to leave.
Oh,
she's
get
already
it.
Pumped.
But she,
the
all right.
double meaning, bro.
Cool.
Joey, you want to?
Can you
want to take
King
this offline? You and I can.
Yeah, we'll dissect this.
We do it, and Vince can go figure it out.
We'll do one of those things where they have an animator do the comedy bit, and so we'll animate the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know, she'll be squirting all. It'll be good.
Yeah, ooh. That'll be great. That'll be great. We'll just clip it up, put it online. Fucking see that goddamn money rolling.
Mm.
Get that money. How you doing, Joey? It's been too long, man. I first, let me just say, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so super offended that you chose to come on today because, as you know, I've been texting you about once a month going, hey, what's up, dude? Can you do the Frogcast in about 5 minutes? And then you're like, oh, sorry, dude. I'm taking a train to fucking Milwaukee, you know, right now.
Sorry, dude. I'm getting a train run on me in
sorry,
Milwaukee.
Dude. There's all these bitches sucking on my dick right now, so I'm a bit busy. And then Vince was looking for a guest, and he texted me. He's like, "Oh, I got one. Joey Avery's coming on." I'm like, "What the?"
Yeah, I rizzed him up. You always forget that step.
I'm like anti rizz.
Mm.
I knew that was good. I knew this was gonna come up. I absolutely knew this was gonna be the first topic today. Was that? Now, Vince, of course, gave me the grace of doing it like a whole like 4 hours before.
Yeah,
which did,
almost
which did
day.
Help. Mm-hmm. But but yeah, it just worked out. You know, I'm
sure.
Here. I'm ready. I've
heard that before.
Vince is the king of Riz, dude.
What's happening in your life right now? Are you going through any changes?
A lot. I mean, yeah, a lot of stuff is happening. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, you know, as Matt mentioned, I actually go on tour and do stand up now, as opposed to when we first started frauding together when it was, you know, it was open mic life.
I
next
feel like
month,
you're big timing us right now, and I don't know. How
no,
I
want to hear
about
next month. I feel it's going to be even bigger timing.
Sorry.
What's up?
I am moving to New York.
What? That's
we
a whole
hang out so much in LA.
Yeah. On Zoom. We'll never be able to do it.
So much different than our lives now.
Yeah. Oh man. That's great. You're moving to New York because LA is not a great stand-up comedy town. Is that what you're telling me, dude?
It's a few things that does factor in. Also, the fact that I'm married, but my wife still lives and works in San Francisco, and I'm in L.A.,
we've
found to be a less than desirable situation, and she can work out of New York, so we're going to go live together. Which
you're
going to
triangulate coast. You know, one thing that I learned in geography is that the big cities are closer together over there. So
they're
if you're
like
doing comedy,
5 minute
just
walks.
Like, yeah.
You walk over, you're in Philadelphia. You walk over, you're in Newark, New Jersey. You mm-hmm. walk over, you're in Brooklyn. It's just simple.
Yeah.
That was
and
the
you
genesis
say,
of.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm walking here.
That's. You guys both were going to do the joke.
We did. Yeah. Look.
I've never thrown a lob and have it watch it get dunked by two people. That was amazing, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Producer, clip it up. There's no producer. No one produces. I do. I mean, listen, I congratulate you. It's so funny because every time a comic I know from the Bay Area talks about moving to LA, at this point I'm like, well, do you like doing stand up? And they're like, yeah. What do you mean? Yeah, of course. I'm like, I don't know if you want.
I don't know if this is the right place for you.
LA. The only people I know who are doing it right are people who work at the Comedy Store. They're the only people I know who are actually doing it like correctly in LA. And it's like, it's what you have to do to in order to get like regular bookings, you know, in the city. Like you can go on the road and stuff, but it's just like. You know, if you're, especially if you're someone who's going to like be an East Side LA comic, there's like fucking three shows. You know?
I feel like you just haven't, you haven't rizzed up Joe Rogan enough.
I've tried, dude.
Really?
I've tried. Oh my God.
How hard?
Well, I go online and I say, Joe Rogan, help me, help me, help me, help me. Joe, help me. Please help. Help me. And so far he's not responded. He blocked me. I don't know why.
Just tell him that the woke mob canceled you for.
I know, dude. I need to get fucking
too cool of a guy.
Oh, dude, I need someone with the woke mind virus to fucking attack me. Yeah, I just need it. Where are you gonna move to in New York?
We'll see. We're keeping our options open because you know you just never know where you're gonna get a good deal. But yeah, so
have fun paying that broker's fee, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's looking real cheap out there, real affordable. Really excited for that.
Vince, can you explain to me? I am an adult, but I just learned this concept like 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is a broker's fee?
Okay, so you know how in California you pay, usually you pay security deposit and first months, sometimes first month, last month.
Right.
But usually just the two. So in New York, basically you have a second deposit that you don't get back, which
so
is
that's
called
not
a broker's fee.
That's not a deposit. That's a tax. Go
it's
on.
It's a payment because for some reason they have. They're still everything's a racket in New York. A
okay,
little bit.
But just back up. When you say they, can you explain?
It's the Jamie Foxx they.
Right. Is it the Jamie Foxx
the real estate agents
okay.
with a hard R? I'm
yeah,
saying
I see
it. With,
what you've
no,
put
it's like
down.
They. The landlords, somehow the real estate broker people have decided that they're going to pass that tax on to the renter and not the landlord, which is very strange because like the broker is not really doing a service. I guess it is. The idea of it is it's
tenant,
a whole.
Like I get if they get the tenant, but why would the tenant then pay the broker? Wouldn't the,
I had no idea.
Wouldn't the landlord
it's,
be like, thank you for taking this out of my hand?
Again, it's a racket. It's just how they do things there, and
that's
they're like
fucking
this is,
crazy.
They yeah. then they also have no fee apartments, but from what I understand, the no fee apartments a lot of times they just bake the fee in like over a period of time,
mm-hmm.
and then it kind of goes away.
Yeah, so basically,
the idea that you need like a real estate agent to rent a place.
That's insane.
That you have to pay as the renter is nuts.
But yeah, basically you have to pay 3 months in advance there. This is how it breaks down. But I think what is it, like 7% of the yearly rent or something is the broker's fee?
Oh, it's a percentage? No. It's a percentage of the rent?
Of the year. It's basically an extra month.
That's the craziest shit I've ever heard. I don't understand how that's possible. I found out about it because someone was complaining about it online and a point that they made, which made me go, was you didn't help me find this apartment. I found it on fucking like Redfin or Zillow or something.
I mean, but that's,
and I was like, hey, wait, but then why would you hire? That's just like getting an extra, like a leech
yeah,
who's
that's
there.
The real estate industry.
Dude, I thought the real estate industry was on the up and up.
It's just your job is to be a really cool guy that people want to be friends with, and you got to take a good picture like Cartman on.
Yeah. Ooh. So whenever stand-up doesn't work out, I know exactly what
I was
gonna
say, Joey. This
be
is
amazing real estate.
Oh my god, I would buy so much land from you.
My god
my
best friend was in a band, and then he was like, dude, the entertainment industry is a pain in the ass. And then he just became a commercial real estate agent and makes like so much more and is so much happier. And he's like,
yeah,
he keeps being like, damn, I'm proud of you, man, but I couldn't do it. I'm like, I need you to stop fucking saying that to me or I'm gonna start selling office space with you, dog.
I'm gonna need you to just shut up and maybe give me some money.
Yeah,
so that
you
this,
just pay me.
Yeah, this feels fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah, be my patron. That's how art used to work.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And now it sucks because it's like it used to be patrons were just like some rich, big old fat cat guy, you know?
Yeah.
And now like it is just, you know, all of our patrons who are listening to this, you know, it's just a gaggle of swine.
Yeah.
Giving their last 2 cents.
They
want to
pay a couple shekels to relive the internet in 2011.
Exactly. And, you know,
who doesn't want to do that?
And honestly, I love you for it.
Yeah, I want to do that too.
Yes, me too. But you know, keep doing it. Please don't stop doing it. But I'm just saying, isn't it unfit? Let's move on. Keep doing it.
Yeah. I'm curious.
That should
to
be
see...
the bio for your Patreon. Yeah. Is just pay a couple of shekels to relive the internet in 2011.
Yeah,
that's a great pitch.
Yeah,
that is a very goddamn pitch. Good pitch.
I'm curious to see how New York changes you. Because I found, I'm sure New York's changed a lot in the 13 years since I haven't been there. But I found that people had a tendency to like be rude to you until you were rude back, and then you could have like a normal conversation.
Oh, and then you won their respect?
Yeah, a little bit. That. Like it was like a weird hazing process that you'd have to go through every time, you know, you were at a bar or a restaurant or just like talking to a person that you had to talk to.
Yeah, just someone would come out of the woodwork just like, hey, fuck you. And then you just and go, what do I do? And
fuck like, you too. It's like,
hey,
that.
Let's be friends. I like that.
Just completely overreact. Yeah, fuck you, big fat retarded mother. Jesus. Yeah. What
everyone's
the fuck
like, whoa, hey, what?
Don't
the
even say
fuck?
That. I thought we said the word out here.
You threw in slurs.
What
know.
Is this, Austin?
Yeah, this ain't Austin. You can't just go around doing R slurs.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously it's different, but I have a sneaking suspicion that the differences between large metropolitan cities in this day and age are pretty small.
Mm.
I feel like traveling the country, you notice more of a difference between big city, small town, as Jason Aldean would call it.
Than large
coastal cities.
Yeah, yeah. Try that in a small town, and by that I mean getting a decent slice, am I right?
Hey, come on.
Get a good luck getting a decent slice out there. They got different water out there.
Yeah. Try that in a small town, and by that I mean finding a single Jew. Find one, buddy. So, am I crazy? Was Jason Aldean not also the guy who was having the concert that shot up in Vegas?
Yeah, he pew-pew. He was at the, That's he was crazy. The bump stock guy, yeah.
I love that he came back in the news just to, to be like, hey, now that it's been a while, can I say how much I love lynching?
Hey, stop all the protesting, you know?
Yeah.
Did you see the Montgomery brawl?
Yes, of course. I did.
Did you see the Twitter cut where someone put it to try that in a small town?
Oh, my God. No, I did not.
I knew there were a lot of memes. I liked the one where people made, like, Doctor Strange, the little spark circles for all the dudes that came to help.
Was pretty great.
So apparently, like, if you guys haven't seen this, there was a ferry or like some sort. Yeah, pretty sure it was a ferry. And there was
not in my town.
Yeah, there was a group of a boat owner who didn't want to move his boat for the ferry because he was parked in the ferry spot. And I don't know if it was the ferry captain or just like a security guy came over to like tell the guy to move his boat. And this guy and his buddies like jumped this dude who was a black dude. And all the boat owner guy was a white dude. And then a bunch of other black people saw it and jumped in and beat the crap out of them. And there was a 16-year-old kid that swam across like the channel.
That was the best kid.
And powerbombed a guy. Took him a really long time to swim across that channel.
Oh yeah, he was doing it in like fucking like shoes, like and jeans. That
he
dude
looked
was
like he was
down.
Out of breath, but then he found a second gear when the team came time for powerbombing.
Dude, okay. He literally lifted himself up off that dock like a fucking superhero. I there was part of me when I watched him swimming. I was like, what are you going to do when you get there? It's too high. And then he flew up.
You want me to show you how to do that? I can do that. I can get off. I can get out of the water onto
a
dock.
You can't do shit,
I'm
bitch.
I'm great at it. I used
you
to do it upside
do
down, dude.
You
don't
can't
even
do
worry
nothing because you're a bitch.
There were so many good fight moves in it. When they first attacked the initial guy who was telling him to move the boat and they were all going to come, he takes his hat off and just throws it up into the air.
Yeah.
Dude all right. had the chair. It was great.
I have the clip.
Yeah.
Right,
what are we going to get from it? Good luck. Try that in a small town. CFO. frozen. That was fun.
Yeah.
I think it kind of froze up there.
Yeah, it froze. All right. You know, yeah. Fucking, I don't know. All right. Well, you do your best to do the content. You do your best, and everyone tells you shit on it. I never said StreamYard works good.
It's a hard, I think that the only, the best way to cover that event is just say, go search that on Twitter or X, I suppose, and just make sure you see like 20 different cuts and just watch how people reacted to it. I feel like that's what made it so funny.
I mean, I feel like we're having a lot of fun with it now, but I mean, there's like a non-zero chance that the boat dock guy is going to be like Trump's running mate in a few months.
Oh, you think so? Why do you say that?
Like, you really think a guy that got beat up by a group of black dudes is not going to become like a right wing celebrity?
Yeah. Somehow? No. Yes, 100%. He's the new, Chunky Kyle guy. what's the name of Chunky Kyle?
Rittenhouse. No, let's call him Chunky Kyle.
Chunky Kyle. He's here. He's chunky.
There were a lot of great people on both sides of the boat fight.
Yeah.
Did they exhaust Chunky Kyle? Because he was kind of making the rounds for a little bit. I feel like
he gets winded now.
He's still, he's definitely winded. He's still around, you know, like, but at this point, I only see pictures of him and think, man, he chunky. So, like, I don't know necessarily. His brand now seems to be taking pictures of other guys and doing thumbs up, which,
listen,
it's a good brand.
You try to have your freshman 15 out of the public eye, and you know, you kill one or two people,
you kill a couple Antifas, and all of a sudden everyone is like, hey, why are you so chunky, Kyle? You know, it's fucked
I got other fight news.
More fight news?
Yeah, so like when the whole Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg like fight story, I thought that was gonna pass by in like a day or two because it's so plainly never going to happen.
Didn't Elon say he can't do it because his mom's against it?
So that was the first story. I have a series of tweets from Elon that I'd like to read for you.
I love a series of tweets.
Somehow it got brought back up, and he got Ed Krasenstein, who's back on Twitter, thank God.
Yeah, one of two.
Elon responded to Ed Krasenstein, if the fight is short, I probably win. If long, he may win on endurance. I am much bigger, and there is a reason MMA has weight divisions.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever like fought or trained or like wrestled or something. Like when he says long, like longer than 30 seconds is going to take a decent amount endurance training.
I love the logic though. The logic is, listen, if the fight lasts literally long enough for me to knock him out immediately in the first few seconds of the first round, then I win. It is like, if you knock him out immediately, of course you win. He's like, but if I miss that shot, I'm fucking toast, bro.
But he clearly doesn't understand that like cardiovascular shape is like the main type of shape that you'd have to be in for this.
Yeah. No, he's he is like he's built for girdles, you know. Yeah. And I'm not talking shit. I have the exact same body type as Elon Musk. The only difference is I have a big dick. And,
and you don't have yes men around you.
That's true.
To like tell you that your dumb ideas about how exercise works are bad.
I have nothing but no men. I have nothing but, in fact, I'm married to a no woman who all she does is tell me I cannot fight Mark Zuckerberg. No matter how many animals I bring up that I could beat in a fight, she's like, no, you couldn't. You're weak. And I'm like, you're weak. All right. Fuck you.
So Elon Musk, like the more he talks, and this has been true for months, but like the more he talks, the more out of his depth and dumb you realize that he is.
Oh yeah.
Here's the follow-up series.
If you think you're the smartest man in the world because you're the richest man in the world, there's nothing that you don't think sounds good coming out of your mouth. So I can feel the confidence with which he's saying all these incredibly stupid things. Yeah. He almost is like, and I obviously he knows more about rockets and shit than I do, but when he talks about shit like this, it's almost like an I think you should leave character.
Yeah.
It's basically just like, oh yeah? You think because I didn't lift a couple weights, I couldn't knock this guy out? Yeah, yeah. What?
Aiming to get 50-pound free weights this week. I build muscle fast. Physical endurance is my weak spot, so I'm aiming to make this quick. am lifting weights throughout the day, preparing for the fight. I don't have time to work out, so I just bring them to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not how that works.
I'm also very busy. So what I do is while I'm saying, hey, we should make this into PayPal and Pornhub at same time, I do lift on weights. I love that he is only working out his biceps, I guarantee you.
What else are you doing while you work?
Every day I'm stronger bicep, every day closer to beat up the Zuck.
Dude, Zuckerberg, actually, as much as I'd love to make fun of both of them, Zuckerberg is like oddly deeply about this life.
He is. Listen, I could still kick his ass, and I want everyone to know that.
I'm willing to put that to the test.
Anytime that he wants to go.
Anytime, Zuck.
But yes, he is doing real trainer. He is doing real training with real people that know what they're doing, which, you know.
Can you cut an MMA promo right now?
I thought I just did.
No, do it better, dude. Do it
now. Why am I good at that stuff?
I'll do it for you. Okay. Hey, I'm Vince Mancini, and I'm Italian. Hey, hey, Mr. Zucky Fuckerberg, I want you in the ring right now. I'm tired of all these Jews. We gotta get them out of the media. This has been Vince Mancini.
Yep.
Hey, Zuckerberg, I got some meat for you to smoke. I'm going to put more white all over your face than that time you went hydrofoiling. Wait, what are we talking about? I'm going to fuck you.
I'm going to have sex with you, Mr. Jew. There we go. We cut the promo. Now we wait.
Like literal hours after that tweet about how he is working out throughout the day, even though he knows physical endurance is not his strong suit. There was a story going around that he now is talking about how he may require surgery before the fight because he just had an MRI of his neck and upper back.
Dude, like there's not even a date set, right?
And according to X News Daily Context, Elon hurt his back sumo wrestling on his birthday years ago and has been in chronic pain since. And there's a picture of Elon Musk sumo wrestling while in some sort of like elaborate I'm a billionaire and it's my birthday type robe.
If it's a very specific type thing, it's just, oh yeah, billionaire birthday sumo guy, got it. I assume they let him win that one.
I would imagine that sumo wrestler could just put him through the wall of that thing if he wanted to.
Yeah, you'd assume.
I sent you the picture if you wanted to.
Oh, yes, please. That. Please, please, please. Here we go. This is. Oh, my God. God, Jesus Christ.
All right, Tell me that is not the definition of an I'm a billionaire and it's my birthday robe.
Yeah, no, that is. I'm a billionaire. There it is. Here's a kimono I own. And
I'm wearing harem pants for some reason.
Yeah, I like that he's just like, and give me the Morpheus pants. You know that scene with Morpheus where he's doing kung fu with Neo? Give me those pants, but also a silk robe. That's what he sounds like, right?
If there's one thing rich white guys in tech love more than Asian women, it's Asian clothing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, like, honestly, there's nothing they love more. I think it's like owning a Dostoevsky novel. To them, they're just like, oh, me? Yes, I'm refined. It's like Stringer Bell's apartment having, like, you know, fucking the art of war and samurai swords. Mm-hmm. It's like, I get it. You're about business, but you're also about, you know, fucking the journey of capital. Listen, the funny thing about this to me is that there's not like a date. Like, he's making up excuses for a fight that has not been scheduled. No one is apropos of nothing. He's just going, oh no, guys, bad news. I hurted my back.
And he keeps talking about it. He keeps pushing it along. Like, he could easily get out of it. Like,
he already said his mom wouldn't let him.
He could pretend it's not even a thing. Like, it's not. He could just not talk about it. But it's just like, you know, it's like fucking.
It's engaging too well. He's literally addicted to the algo so much that he bought the fucking platform. And then when he realized it's the one thing that's engaging well, which is the same thing that fucking Logan Paul realized 10 fucking years ago, he just ends up wanting to fight anyway. It's funny that the heads of social media platforms are realizing what the first YouTube influencers realized, which is there's nothing more that we like than a fight, and this is all bad for us.
Right, exactly.
He's become a slave to his own trending topics.
Dude, it is so crazy watching someone like just double down and never take a moment to step back and go, wait, why am I angry right now? Like, I remember having that exact moment in like 2017 or something. I like woke up angry for the 10th day in a row, and it's because I kept waking
thinking
up
about some mean tweet someone sent me 7 hours ago and possible responses I could have to
I woke up like just fucking ready to debate someone on an anti-Zionist Facebook group and just being like, wait, why the fuck am I angry, dude? Like, I remember waking up horny and then going on phone and becoming angry and being like, this is wrong. This
is machine for making horny, not
this
for
is
making
machine
angry.
For horny. Yeah. I God wanted me to be horny at this moment, but then the internet wanted me to be angry, and that one, hell no. And I stopped using Facebook because of it. And honestly, smart. I feel like I narrowly avoided storming the Capitol, you know?
Sure.
Just on a different day.
Yeah, completely. Just storming the Capitol to be like, hey, stop funding Israel. But, you know, still, same level of crazy. But yeah, he just decided, no, I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to keep poisoning myself.
He's too deep. He needs to take some time off, dude.
He needs to
some
chill.
People say touch grass. I say party. He should go to a party and just chill for a little bit.
I think he should take some benzos with JP, Jordan Peterson.
Honestly, I'm less
get that
of
that benzo glaze on.
That's true.
Is JP benzed out?
He went to Russia to get put in a coma so that he could detox off benzos.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Jesus, dude. Yeah. Ben Shapiro, we'll call him.
Yeah, dude. He's Benzo Shapiro for sure. That guy is all about the Bennies.
Why have we not called him Benzo Shapiro? Love that.
That's, you know, we just did.
Matt.
Clip it up.
Brett. Yeah. Brett. Hello. Brett. Oh, he's baking bread. Fuck.
Yeah. So sorry. Sorry, Brett. He produces the other podcast.
No, not this one. This one we do ourselves. And you'd never know because
it's so tight.
Tight. Like a
secret
drum.
Secret ingredient is love.
The secret, that's right. That's right.
Matt, you know, speaking of how tight this show is, I was going to do a segue.
Oh, my God.
You saw Barbie finally, didn't you?
Dude. First of all, great segue.
Yeah, thank you.
Second of all, I did. I finally saw a fucking movie, dude.
That's so cool. It was good, right?
Honestly, it was really good.
Yeah.
It was one of those movies where a lot of hype went into it before seeing it. Like, we had my fucking mother-in-law was staying here watching the baby. You know, it was like a lot going on in my life, and I was like, I'm going to see this fucking movie. And so I'm like sitting there and I'm like making sure that we're there in time for the fucking trailers because I want to eat nachos while I watch the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then movie start. And from beginning to end, I was like, this good movie.
Yeah.
This really good movie.
Hate men?
First of all, I hate men now. Before I did it, movie changed me. Now I woke mind virus.
Uh-oh.
Women win. Boss, lady.
I mean, the secret of that movie is that the dude is the best part of it. Like, I mean, sorry.
I know.
Mean, sounds Robbie's, like every other movie.
Hey, fuck yeah.
Mine.
Yeah, I only watch porno for the dudes.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
This chick couldn't even get hard.
Yeah. She got a clit.
I mean, yeah. I think Margot Robbie killed it, and she had to do all the hard stuff, but that sort of freed Ryan Gosling to just like be 100% a comic relief, and he just nailed it.
He was so fucking good. You know what I loved about this movie is it was cynical, but without being shallow. Like, it very easily could have been like Barbie, but rated R. Finally, a
Barbie.
Yeah, a Barbie.
Rated bar.
Rated bar. And like, you know, it could have been very easily just for adults. And it did that very rare thing of making a legitimately funny movie for both kids and adults, and it not being an animated fucking Pixar movie.
Yeah, like right off the bat, you know, Barbie's having a dance party, and she's like, "Do you guys ever think about death?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, Noah Baumbach co-wrote this song."
Yeah, dude, I gotta say, I was when I found out that it was a Noah Baumbach joint along with Greta Gerwig, I went, "Uh-oh, here we go," because I, you know, I don't like Marriage Story.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Real bad. So I was a little worried about where
White Noise was kind of all right though. It was kind of decent.
I didn't see it. Yeah. I liked a little bit of Squid and the Whale. But anyways, so I was kind of worried about it. But yeah, no, it was like fucking, it was legitimately funny. It was only minorly, like, it was political, but it was very like,
yeah, I could have done without the America Ferrera scene about how it's literally impossible to be a woman. I was like, okay, I mean, this is okay, too broad.
Well, I love that you could do without the scene that everyone fucking loves.
It
like
was,
every
was
woman in my
too,
life is like, that was amazing.
But I don't know, it felt too broad to me. It felt like
too broad.
What yeah, too many broads.
How could we sum up the existence of like the totality of being female? And it's like, I don't. That's too broad for me. Just, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Man doesn't like women parts.
No.
I'm Alan.
Not so much that. It was just like, okay, this is a series of vague things.
Okay, I did have a couple of issues with that that monologue she gives. One of them was like, you have to be the boss, but you can't be mean. And it was like all these like different things you can't do. And one of them was like, well, yeah, you definitely shouldn't be mean.
Yeah, right.
No matter what.
Yeah, yeah. Man or woman. Like, yeah. I understand that maybe you expect your male bosses to be meaner, but that doesn't make it right either. The expectation is that doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think the experience of you have to be blank but not too blank is specific to women necessarily. Like, that's kind
of
like.
Right. Well, there was a lot of stuff in there that.
I get that it's harder, but.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff in there that I thought was on the money, and then there was the occasional. It's like you can't ever be rude, and it's like, okay, try not be rude.
Yeah,
everyone.
Also,
try.
Girls are some of the rudest people I know are all women.
Well, yeah, exactly, dude.
The consequence for them being rude is you know, other women will be mean to you about it. Whereas if you're a guy, it's like you might get your ass beat on a dock.
Yeah, exactly. Where's our movie? No, but I thought that was fine. I was okay with it. It was just
it was fine.
It was the descriptors of like, you know, we can't be mean, we can't be rude, and it's like, yes, but yeah, don't do that, especially if you're a boss. What the fuck are you talking about? You know, let's have a little intersectionality with class in your feminist analysis here, all right? All right, but no, what I also liked about it was that it was it didn't feel at all like it was just filmed in front of a fucking green screen the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like all the practical effects, all of the like ginormous sets that they built that were so fucking silly and hilarious that I was just like, this is fucking, it's like, you know, it's been a while, I think, since I've seen a movie where I'm just like, I am impressed with the artistry involved.
Right.
In this.
I forgot that people did art sometimes.
Yeah, and they did it in a way also where they were shitting on the brand in a way that I thought was like they skated that line where it, I was worried it was going to feel like when the brands do like sassy tweets on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
That's what I thought the movie was going to be. And
yeah, it was going to be stuffed crustacey.
Yes.
All over.
Sorry, what was that?
Did you see the deleted tweet from the Pizza Hut account where it was like, what's your favorite part of a Pizza Hut pizza? Mine is the stuffed crustacea.
That is fucking so hot.
I don't know if you can unpack that, Matt. I don't know if I'm like if I know enough. I know, I mean, you know.
So the
there's a bussy, which is like a boy pussy, or
yeah,
a
but
back,
a stuffed
back
crust
pussy.
Is like,
and so you apply the ussy to
applying this. Any kind of ussy into like stuffed crust makes me think of a crust filled with cum. But I like that. Here's the thing, that one is great because they deleted it. They had to, but most of them are just annoying. Fucking like I don't know, just like they're toothless fucking self-aware tweets about their own brand.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that's where they were going to go with this, but instead it felt like a person made it. Yeah, it felt like a person made it. Exactly. It felt like an actual human being made it, and it was fucking hilarious, and honestly just watching Ryan Gosling like play this role and really like give everything to it was so funny, because you just were it just like is he an Oscar winner? It feels like he is, you know.
No,
what I mean?
I think he's a nominee.
Okay. It's just like
Gosling
is, that's Brian Gosling of Hookup Hotshot, and that's a porno series. Very good. Shout out to Brian Gosling if you're out there listening to this pod. I met you at the AVNs that year, and honestly, you're a really nice guy.
He's gotten Ryan Gosling has gotten an Independent Spirit Award, but never an Oscar nomination.
Oh, okay. Well,
and some Teen Choice Awards for The Notebook. Well, obviously, so God bless him for that.
But yeah, he went balls in for that role, and it was so fucking funny, dude.
Yeah.
As soon as I found out the patriarchy was not about horses, I kind of lost interest. That is one of the funniest fucking lines.
So two solid B pluses.
Two solid B pluses.
Rated B plus.
Yeah, Barbie plus. Mm-hmm. Catch it on its new streaming platform. All Barbie, all time. The good thing about the Barbie movie being so successful, I think it just surpassed $1 billion worldwide, is that I'm certain that the movie studios will all learn the right lessons from Barbie's success. Isn't that right, Vince?
It is. Do you want to hear some of the projects that are based on the Barbie?
It's like they're going to do stuff based on real toys. Like they're going to do like a Fleshlight movie.
Yeah, I hope so.
They should have Bert Kreischer's Fleshlight.
It's so hard being just a pussy in this world. Yeah. You don't know what it's like. People make tweets about your
literally
stomach. It's
impossible to be a pocket pussy these days. You have to be soft but cleanable.
A movie about a dildo. Dildo is just like, I want to be a real boner. Dude.
You have to fuck everyone, but you can't be a dick.
You have to be hard on the outside, but everyone wants you to be soft afterwards. I don't know. There's something there. You got to be wet and dry simultaneously.
You got to be the perfect vibe.
You got to be huge, but also easy to hide. Oh, man. Yeah.
Some of these are all real. There's going to be Barney with producer Daniel Kaluuya attached.
Daniel Kaluuya. Explain him. Why
Get Out guy.
Yeah. What? Okay.
Previously described as an A24 type of surrealistic movie.
Fuck.
That's going to be horrifying. That sounds bad.
I don't know. This is the head of Mattel. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be darker. It's just going to be unique. More of like a Being John Malkovich or an adaptation, she says, referencing the 1999 and 2002 Spike Jonze films.
Yeah, you know what those two movies have in common, other than Charlie Kaufman being attached to it, is they neither of them were about a fucking brand.
Any movie that has Barney is certainly not going to be straightforward, Brenner adds.
Sure, why would it be? I mean, it's got Barney, one of the most fucking five-dimensional characters ever made.
Yeah. How do we take I Love You, You Love Me and make it horrifying and tragic?
Yeah.
I love you, you love me. This is a Holocaust movie starring me, Barney, and all these dead Jews. I am Nazi. How are you? Hey, I just wrote it.
Freestyle. Yeah. I'm glad you asked. Yeah. Reciting the famous Barney song, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, the Mattel exec says the upcoming film will be about, quote, identity and finding who you love and who feels alienated. And what does it all mean?
God. Jesus Christ.
Cool.
Jesus Christ. Like,
this can't.
Yeah, it's like they learn. They don't even know why Barbie was good.
No.
They don't
no
even
idea.
Know why
no
it
clue.
Was good. Because, no like. Clue. The thing is while it was obviously making some, you know, at moments heavy-handed political points, the biggest political point that it made was that Barbie thought that she, like, cured misogyny in the real world, and she thought, like, you know, feminism won, and then she goes to the real world and finds out that everyone is still very, very misogynist, and Barbie is just a tool of fucking misogynists. Like, it was like the joke was is that this is just a fucking product. It does not solve nothing. And god damn it,
taking a message that's for kids and trying to make it interesting to adults is, it's like perverse. The idea of now, honestly, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, is now supposed to be identity. So it's just going to be Barney at a fucking orgy sucking and fucking everybody and being like, I love everyone.
It's about being pansexual. It's like, okay. Listen, if you can pull it off, but the way
I'm a piss pig now.
Oink, oink.
What's the Folsom Street Fair?
Oh, stop me, Daddy, and turn me to oil. Pump me in your car. Like, honestly, it's like, listen, I'm not saying that you can't make a good. Barbie obviously was like proof that you can make it good. The problem is that level of, you're not going to be able to repeat what made Barbie good very often, because everything else will just be kind of a half ripoff of what they're doing.
Unless the repetition is like, oh, let Greta Gerwig make another movie.
Honestly, if it's let Greta Gerwig do it.
That was what it was. Like, okay.
Yeah, because that's the lesson. It's not the lesson of Barbie being good. It was just like, let Greta Gerwig do movies.
Yeah, let her cook. Yeah.
Let her cook. That's like, it's the idea that just like,
all
right.
Let all women cook. Yeah. Is what they're trying to say.
Hey, everyone. Matt Lieb here. Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? Not like around, you know, the block or whatnot. I'm not saying have you run into him at your local grocery store. I'm saying, have you seen what his body looks like? He is still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. And what's even more shocking is he somehow looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one actually tastes like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Since I started drinking Morning Kick, and yes, I have started drinking it. Why? Because they sent me some. And honestly, I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, my body looks leaner, and I have energy all day. I feel younger, even though I am a young man. I feel even younger, bro. Like, if you know anything about me, you know that I'm someone who is obsessed with gut health, all right? You know, I drink kombucha. I like a probiotic drink. I do all sorts of things to make sure that my gut is healthy. And I'll tell you, this is actually great for your gut. And it actually tastes good, which is not something you can say about kombucha. Let's be honest. And another thing I loved about it, easy to prepare. I love that it's just something you just mix with water and stir. I didn't have to, like, you know, learn to make a culture from a SCOBY or whatever. Like, I just had to buy some Morning Kick, mix it with water, stir it, drink it down. And it tasted great. So if you want something that tastes good, makes your digestion feel smoother, and make your body look leaner and give you more energy, try Morning Kick. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/podyourself for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/podyourself today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah. And it's like, listen, yeah, sure, but also, like, oh, God, man. Oh, what else are they making? What else are they doing?
Polly Pocket with star Lily Collins from Emily in Paris. And writer-director Lena Dunham.
That'll be good.
Brenner confirms to Variety that there is a script, which he enthusiastically describes as a great script.
Oh, there's a that's two things, by the way. Not only is there a script already, but it's great.
It's been great. An amazing collaboration. Lena is so collaborative and rolls up her sleeves and really likes to roll around in notes and listen.
She got a lot of rolls.
She did not say that.
She says that. She said that.
Likes to roll around and do what?
In notes. Roll around in notes.
Like the roly-poly.
Like a piggy in notes. She rolls around and just oinking her little oinker. Just
that's crazy, dude.
Molesting her sister or whatever she did.
She did not. They were just playing, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's molestation. Lock me up. Lock me up. Officer, if that's if that's it, the chair. Take me to the chair.
Take me to the chair. A recliner, preferably. Yeah. There is going to be Hot Wheels with producer J.J. Abrams, who has described the adaptation as grounded and gritty.
Oh, good. Make it gritty.
They're just making Fast and the Furious. Was that not Hot Wheels?
You know, Hot Wheels, but this is now they can use brand.
That's a great segue, because there's also a Vin Diesel attached project.
Can I guess? Oh, fuck. Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, it is. It's Rock'em Sock'em
Robots.
Wait,
didn't they already do a Rock'em Sock'em movie?
I had a surprising Vin Diesel experience this weekend.
Tell me about it.
My wife and I, and I were spending a weekend with her goddaughter, who's 15, who's great. Uh-huh. And I went out to do a show, and they watched Fast and Furious. Because I guess she hadn't seen them. Yeah. And I came back, and the main takeaway in my household was that Vin Diesel is the hottest guy in that franchise.
Wow.
What? They were like, he's hotter than Paul Walker. I was like, you bitches are dumb as fuck.
First of all, Jason Momoa is in it now. He's not hotter than Jason Momoa.
I don't think so. I don't even think I think he's even a poor man's The Rock.
Yeah, no.
But they were all Vin. They watched the first one, so that was.
Oh, they watched the first one.
That was peak Vin.
Sure.
Yes.
That was peak Vin, but still.
Yeah. No, that was Vin at his most like West Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I'll give him like, okay, if you don't, you know, if you're not into Mormon guys, like maybe he's hotter than Paul Walker or whatever.
I can't believe Paul Walker
or the guy that plays a Zach Wilde signature Les Paul in the middle of a house party for some reason.
Dude.
I know a lot about the Fast Franchise.
You know a lot about
that. I'll never be able to get
shit,
out of my
dude. I don't even know what you said. No, don't cry.
Do we have any idea why? Sorry, to go back to Hot Wheels, do we have any idea why, like, what it's going to be about? Did they leak any of that? Or is it just like Fast Cars? It just seems like it's not going to be groundbreaking. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
She assures us that the movie will have real characters that you can relate to, that are three-dimensional, that have emotional journeys.
What
Look
the
at
fuck?
Any J.J.
So it's
Abrams
a movie?
Movie. Yeah, it's going to be a movie that it's going to have characters and
are the
fucking cameras.
Are the cars talking? Are the cars talking? Or is it about little kids playing with little cars?
You know, it's up in the air at this point.
I just like... How much are people going to movie is because they remember toy? I don't think can't possibly be that much. Like Barbie, yeah. Barbie's a fucking behemoth, bro. Like, that's a fucking huge
thing. I mean, it's the girl
thing.
G.I. Joe, and they already did G.I. Joe like in the 80s. So like that one, okay, we get it. Yeah, you got that one. But what's Polly Pocket going to be? Like, she's just a doll that...
Oh,
fits in your
pocket. I just realized what Polly, she's going to be Polly.
Oh, wow.
That's
wow.
Polly Amorous Pocket.
Mark my fucking words. Polly Pocket. Wasn't there there was a boy version of it. It was like small little Max or something. He was like a little boy.
No, that was the guy from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
No.
Pocket Rocket.
No, it wasn't Pocket Rocket. God, what was it? There was a boy version of Polly Pocket. It was a guy. His name was like
Tiny
Rad
Tim.
No, it was like his name was cool. It was something cool.
Mighty Max.
Mighty Max. Is that it?
Yeah.
Dude, Mighty Max. Yes.
They're kind of crazy. They're in like a snake.
Are they gonna make one for? Are they gonna make that movie for us? Or if they're not make that movie for us?
Oh shit! I had this. There was one in like an alligator mouth, and I distinctly I would see this movie. Actually, it works. I go movie see toy.
I go movie see toy too. If it might
only
Max.
In my toy. What about what about Tomagotchi?
Oh, not that. Dude. I'll just run through the rest.
That
of
would
real
be
quick
fire.
I would
before
see
I get to the last one.
Right.
There's American Girl, Magic 8-Ball.
Magic 8-Ball.
Yep.
There's a movie where they shake ball.
There's already an Ouija board movie. People forget all that. Right. Masters of the Universe, Major Matt Mason, starring Tom Hanks, and from Michael Chabon, writer of, Yiddish Policeman's Union.
What?
Literal Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist who's doing Major Matt Mason, apparently.
I don't know that toy, so cool.
Yeah, I don't either. Uno, the card game, obviously.
How?
Wishbone.
They did Monopoly?
They should do Monopoly, dude.
Monopoly.
I think that was in development at one point. Matchbox, based on the cars. Thomas, the Tank Engine. Viewmaster, and the Viewmaster being like the little pictures that you.
No, I get
the,
it.
Yep,
no,
okay.
yeah.
And finally, my favorite, Christmas Balloon, based on a toy, but based on a true story of when Mattel donated toys to help make a young girl's dream come true. After she tied her Christmas list to a balloon that was found by a grieving couple who worked with the toy company to fulfill the girl's wishes.
What?
I don't know.
What is the story that is?
I don't know why they were grieving.
The most never happened thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. They found the balloon.
Did Mattel like pay to get into movies? Like how?
So, dude, the thing that I never understand about this is who's paying who. Like because if a studio is paying Mattel for the rights to make ads for their toys, like boy, that money's going the wrong direction.
Right? Is that not the wrong direction? I don't know because it's like they are attached as like fucking producers, but it's obviously with Barbie, it was like, well, they had to fucking be, you know. Attached to it because
it's give
their
permission,
fucking
mission. But
I feel like it's like a lobbyist thing where like some ex Hollywood bigwig got hired by Mattel to be like, here's going to be our new division, and this 100%. Is, and he's using all his relationships. It's a win-win, guys.
Well, that a lot of it comes back to in 2018, after a tumultuous period of declining toy sales, Mattel brought in a new CEO, businessman Wynon Kreese, who had a vision to turn the storied toy company into an IP-driven machine, essentially creating a Mattel cinematic universe. Okay, they're making it like this guy is some sort of fucking visionary. Like, that was literally everyone's idea in the 20-teens. Like,
yes, that was literally, there was not a single, in fact, it's old hat to complain about it at this point.
Yeah,
and you're 100%. Making, and you haven't even seen the old hat movie, which is coming out next
remake of old hat. Yeah. And dude, what the fuck? Like, the fact that, we're in the wrong grift.
Yep.
I hate our grift. We fucking picked wrong, dude.
It's a really
dude.
Bad grift.
It's the worst grift.
The worst grift.
We literally, any other grift works better. Oh my God,
it's
bro.
It's depressing.
I remember when I worked at America's Funniest Home Videos, they were very, very excited to pitch Paramount on the movie. And so there were multiple, I literally pitched Paramount two different movies that we had come up with for America's Funniest Home Videos. One of them was so bad that I let someone else do it. and it was like, it was basically Spy Kids, but what if you found an America's Funniest Home Video that sent you on a mission? And
that's actually, I love that.
Right, but it was like one of those things where I was like, I didn't want to pitch it because I was like, this is so fucking stupid. And I was like, no, this other idea about, it's more like an indie film about a guy who like just loves America's Funniest Home Videos. It's kind of a period piece set in the 90s. And like, you know, he like, his dream is to fucking make, you know, get on that show. And he keeps making these silly videos. And it was like,
it's like Lady Bird meets Jackass with a dash of mid-90s.
It was exactly like that. And
you just have to keep naming things that they've heard of so they can be like, oh yeah.
And like it was like a no in the room where they were like, wow. Yeah, you know, you'd have to like you'd have to get some pretty big people attached, and you know, those indie things, they don't really make any money. And then the other guy was like, okay, so we're doing another video, another pitch. So you get a video from America's Funniest Home Videos. And it sends you on a secret quest, and you have to find where the center of all the videos are. So they have to go. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, okay. And I was like, what the fuck?
Which is not even how America's Funniest Home Videos works. Like, no. They don't send you tapes. Like, nobody has tapes of America's Funniest Home Videos. It's a show that's made of tapes.
I'm trying to explain that to them. I was like, this doesn't even make no sense. And they were just like, all right, shut up, fucking idiot. Go
you
on.
You should have been like, all right.
So these kids, they get a tape. All right. And set them on a some sort of quest. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit.
So there's this tape that someone sends into America's Funniest Home Videos. and they soon find out that whoever watches the tape in 7 days, they die.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to
so
call it
the tape.
So there's
a little well girl. She's like trying to crawl her way up through the TV. Oh, man.
And she gets hit in the face with one of those exercise balls, and she falls back down in the well.
They didn't even use any of the things that I thought were going to work. I pitched an idea for a guy who's like trying to get on America's Funniest Home Videos, and he keeps on failing, and then eventually he just fucks on camera, and then he becomes a porn star, and it's called America's Funniest Home Videos. And they were like, we can't do that, it's got to be rated G. And I was like, well, I guess you're not into art then.
What about one where the Grim Reaper falls in love with America's Funniest Home Videos, but there's no new episodes, and he's looking for the funniest video, and so all of America has to send in funny videos, and only if a video is funny enough does he let us have Bob Saget back.
Whoa. Wow. I love that. Brings back Bob Saget. That's pretty
good. It's like Meet Joe Black, but it's like Meet Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Back.
Bring him back. Yeah. Bring back Bob.
Yeah. Bob back.
Bring back Bob.
Meet Bob back. Meet Bob back.
Meet Bob back.
Theaters near you. Fucking A, man. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I'm glad the lesson that they learned is schmaltz with brand.
Yeah. It's good. Not like, oh, good people make good movie. It's like, oh, brand.
Yeah, brand make movie. Brand why? Brand why? Good.
Yeah.
I just like it's, you know, it's because like the other big lesson from the movie, I already said it, but it just bears repeating. You get a good filmmaker and you let them, you give them the money to make fucking awesome ass sets and use sound stages that aren't just for fucking like mocap suits. Like,
yeah.
Practical effect.
Yeah, make
why
movie.
Go to movie?
Make
why
movie that has movie stuff in it.
That's why it's like I don't, you know, I like every time I go see a fucking Marvel thing, I'm just like I don't need to see this in a theater.
No.
It deserves to be on the same fucking monitor that video games are on. It deserves that. That's a level of respect it should get. This was something I was like, I'm glad I saw this in a movie theater because like the fucking, you know, you got the fucking dance scenes and the singing and also mm-hmm. pretty hair.
Yeah.
Everybody got pretty hair.
Would you watch a McDonald's movie?
Yeah.
I feel like I would.
I would see a McDonald's movie.
I actually can't believe they haven't made one yet.
I'm surprised too.
Yeah.
I want to see McDonald's movie. Guys,
what
if we're the first to think of it? Okay, offline.
Let's march into a McDonald's right now.
Yeah,
in the drive-thru.
Any McDonald's.
I have an idea.
I have an idea for a movie. I would like to speak to Ronald. Okay, it's a gritty McDonald's movie. It takes place in McDonald's land. But at this point, everyone's been murdered by evil Mr. Cholesterol. And... and we have to save the Mayor McCheese, but the only way to do that is all right, you guys help me out here. I can't be the fucking Matt Damon. You guys got
to
be
the
Ben
Hamburglar
Affleck.
Has to steal it.
The Hamburglar has
the
to
Hamburglar
steal it.
Has been on hard times, but hard now times. We're gonna he's gonna do one last crime, but this
one
time
last.
For good.
Yes, yes, one last heist, one last heist. And it's
he
like,
has to go to Mr. Ronald McDonald's Island, which is yes. actually Little St. James.
Little St. James Island. We're on McDonald's surrounded by children in his fun land. and he's
the world's
there,
biggest
goes,
ball pit. Yeah. Sometimes we lose one.
Oh, I guess we've lost more children in there. I think Ronald should be Irish because he's clearly an Irish stereotype.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the red hair.
Evil Irish pedophile billionaire.
He's evil, yeah, yeah. Oh, so you've come back, have you, Mr. Hamburglar? Trying to steal my burgers.
Come
yeah?
crawling back.
You come crawling back on your hands and knees. Well, robble, robble to you, sir. There's something here, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something here.
Somebody could, yeah, tie these strands
for
together.
Sure, yeah.
Somebody just got to get like a professional to like piece together. But we're sure. kind of the ideas guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
My favorite other ripple effect from the box office being back is like people simultaneously realizing how bad the theater experience has gotten.
Yeah,
in like
everyone
the year.
Forgot.
Everyone forgot. Yeah. So there's been like so many articles about this, but this is just one from the Washington Post. It was 9:30 p.m., a showing of Barbie at the Regal Cinema in downtown Denver, and the theater's manager had begun pleading with the man seated a few rows in front of Tess Connolly and her younger brother. The man, the manager said, needed to leave, but the moviegoer wouldn't budge. That's when five security guards showed up, and Connolly truly took in the spectacle in front of her.
Was he eating like an entire thing of baby back ribs and just throwing the ribs willy-nilly? Because that's what I would do.
One of the security guards was saying to the guy, "Dude, you cannot be naked in here," she recalled. The guy was...
I thought this was America!
The guy was all confused and upset that he couldn't be naked in the theater. He was getting all worked up.
This is in Denver? Is this literally Randy Marsh?
Right,
that's
I know, right?
Fucking crazy. What the hell?
I mean, by the way, like you're at a good theater if there was five security guards there to eject a guy.
Yeah.
I guarantee none of my local theaters employ five guys as security guards.
Dude, you can't even You can't even ask for extra jalapenos without them being like, oh, I gotta call a guy because we're in a locked box.
Yeah, right?
I don't know where the key is.
We had to start locking it because of all the jalapeno theft.
Yeah, because people keep asking for it, and I got in trouble for give too many. Oh, dude. Going to the theater, it did remind me that, like, people are scum.
The worst.
But it's kind of like what I love about the theater. It's like a little bit is like I like that it's a bunch of piglets like together, like literally just throwing trash on the ground, just being like, show me my stories. Like, yeah. It is such a base, like fucking human thing where it's like there's a community of people who all get together and decide litter isn't a thing anymore. And I kind of love that. And, you know, it's like most people in movie theaters come out with their hands wet.
Can't take care of trash. Busy watching stories.
Yeah, yeah. Hand filled with food. I got food hand.
I only have two hands. One is food hand. One is drink hand. Cannot use food hand on drink because food hand too slippery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, it's
which
like,
is literally a thing. Yeah. Can I continue, read you
please.
Another
please,
anecdote?
Please. Yeah.
At a Barbie showing at an AMC in Washington on Sunday, a man wearing a pink top, tank top and body glitter loudly identified with the Kens on screen. Throughout the film, and despite multiple shushes, he would cheer, sing, or stand up and pump his fist from the front section seats whenever the Kens rallied against the Barbies. He apologized.
Wait, what?
He was cheering for the Kens.
He was cheering for, so, okay, that's even weird. I thought it was just like describing a very enthusiastic gay man.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like this is a proud boy. He was like, yeah, Ken, horses, Ken.
He apologized to the audience at one point, explaining that he was wasted, but nevertheless.
Hell yeah.
Nevertheless,
I love this guy.
Continued disrupting the show until the film's climax. At which point he got into a slap fight with an acquaintance sitting beside him.
I think I love this man.
Pro Ken, dude. This guy's awesome.
Yeah, this guy gets it. Hell yeah.
The bad behavior wasn't limited to energized Barbie audiences either.
At Oppenheimer, someone detonated a nuclear bomb.
In a Japanese person's lap.
Yeah, fucked up.
You know who I think was the worst theater patron? Ooh. Was that guy who shot a bunch of people at the Dark Knight Rises?
I was
there
just thinking about that.
The worst. Yeah,
I was
unruly.
Thinking about it. I was like, yeah. You know, that there's been some bad movie experiences pre-COVID. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah. Are you doing Johnny Depp for some reason?
I don't know if you know. I mean, there was a guy who shot up the movie theater.
Have you ever seen people do bad things at one of your movies, Johnny?
Me? Yeah, well, during Pirates of the Caribbean, women... They would peel their pussy lips apart. And they would squirt on the screen.
You personally witnessed this?
I watched it happen myself. Wow. I watched it happen. They sprayed me in the eye like a super soaker. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some things, but I've never seen Oppenheimer make someone squirt out their pussy.
Did you see Oppenheimer?
I didn't hit my wife.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't hit her.
Okay.
She's lying. Gotta go.
Oh, she's leaving.
Oh, yeah. He flew away like Willy Wonka.
Yeah, the piglets need their slop, but I feel like a few years ago we just we killed all the farmers, and now we're like, what if the piggies like just policed each other?
Community pig lease.
I mean, most of the movies, like I don't have a draft house or like a New Beverly or.
You're in Fresno, where all you got is like.
What's the one next to the Cinerama that we went to?
The ArcLight.
ArcLight, yeah, we don't have an ArcLight here, so we have to. I have to see it at exclusively piggy theaters, and most of the time like they don't even turn down the house lights before the movie's on, so you're just watching previews in like a completely bright room where you can't even see the screen, and there's still 20 full minutes of previews. I think there's like 25 at one of the last,
and you don't
want to
see the people you're viewing a movie
around,
now they're in your head
I know
they're looking at you while you're shoving greasy oily popcorn into your face, and I put the seasoning on it, so it's like pasty at that point.
Yeah,
like, it's
your
not just
hands
greasy,
are
it's
just
got
glittered with fucking
glitter. I don't need glitter like the Ken's guy. I got my own glitter.
Yeah,
made
called,
of white cheddar,
called white cheddar parm.
That's right.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, at the movie theater I went to, they did the same thing. They didn't dim the lights for the trailers, and I was like, wait, how am I supposed to know whether or not these are good movie or bad movie? Because, like, there was always
a trailer.
What's the point?
Like, it used to be part of the show. You watch the trailers. That's part of the film, and you didn't mind that it was going to be 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, you were like, the more trailers, the better. Dude, remember when the internet first happened and you realized you could now watch trailers? Remember, you just go to apple.com and then go to trailers, and I'd be like, now I know when every movie... gonna be.
Then we just got fat and happy on them. It was like, dude, what else do we do?
I know. Yeah. I guess now we need to bring anti-Semitism back. That was the second thing that the internet did. First thing was trailers. Second thing was Stormfront.
I mean, I do think it's funny. Like, we did have that. There was a precursor to people realizing that other people are terrible because of Barbie and Oppenheimer. And it was Sound of Freedom. Getting all like the chuds out
all
to
the
theater
chuds,
and
the
them
chuds.
Thinking like the terrible theater experience was a conspiracy to keep them from watching the QAnon movie.
I missed this completely. Tell me about this.
Oh my God. This is from New York Post. The accusations of experience tampering come on the heels of the film being criticized for promoting QAnon conspiracy theories, blah, blah, blah. Since the film opened July 4th, several patrons of AMC theaters and Regal Cinemas have complained on social media that they have been forced to evacuate theaters due to unforeseen circumstances. One TikTok user who saw the film opening day claimed the theatrical experience was, quote, uncomfortable. On a post with over 900,000 views, Ohio rapper Jam Skillet told his followers...
Sounds like something I'd order from Denny's.
Yeah, they put the jam right in there. Oh, you just dunk your bread in it.
You dunk it around and kill it.
Told his followers that when he saw the film with his girlfriend, quote, there was no AC running and it was unbearably hot.
Yeah. Jews? Question mark. Swear to God.
Matthew says that he sought out an AMC employee and asked to have the AC restored, only for the worker to reply that it wasn't working.
Oh, well, what are the chances of that? Oh, you're all in on it. That's great.
Another user posted a video of an employee offering attendees free passes to come back and see the movie again, hopefully without interruption after the lights failed to dim, which, again, happens all the time.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody working there. It's the same thing that happened with airlines. They... started losing money, they fired half the staff, and now they're running at like 30% capacity.
Yeah. All the money had to go make sure the wheels are stay on. I'm sorry.
Funny watching a movie about child trafficking at a place that's basically being run by 15-year-olds.
I know, right? Yeah. Speaking of child trafficking, there's no labor laws in movie theaters.
Did you watch that movie?
Okay, no, I did not. I don't have that much appetite for punishment.
I feel like that should be a Fraughtcast exclusive.
Right?
No. You guys should absolutely 100%. Watch and review The Sound of Freedom.
There's no reason not to.
Yes.
At the very least, get the theme straight for our McDonald's movie.
100%. It'll help with the McDonald's. Vince, I will see the Meg too.
But we also have
to see Sound of Freedom. People have to know about the freedom.
I've heard it's
playing
very
into their hands.
It looks very, very boring. It looks really,
it's supposed to be really good.
They already made that movie. It's called I'm Not Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix. He beats up all the pedophiles with a hammer. Watch that instead.
I mean, I want to see that. But.
Another user posted a video of an employee. Oh, sorry. The employee then said that, quote, they apologize for the inconvenience, but we're getting it hopefully looked at later in the week. Really? The person commented filming the video, which has 7 million views. This is called intentional, said a bearded man near the camera. They don't want it to go to the box office gross. Don't take the money.
They don't want it. They don't want this movie to succeed. They want it to fail so that the pedophiles will feel safe. God, these guys are like, It is a wild, wild world now where like one half of the country is just 100% convinced that the other half is fucking children. It is like, Jesus Christ. You know, we invite you, weird, crazy half, to become patrons of the Frogcast. Because if there's one thing...
We will stop the pedophile elite.
Exactly. If there's one thing we stand against...
I thought you were going to say, we'll stop doing it.
Yeah. We'll stop. Yes. We will
extra
stop
patron tier if you want us to
kids.
Stop.
For $100 a month, we will stop it. No more kid fuck. Okay? If
I
you
promise.
Don't... The blood's on your hand.
Then now whose fault is it?
Now whose fault? Yours. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know, man. I feel like that's been a Frogcast.
Sure. I mean.
What? No, go ahead. You got some more?
Yeah, no, that's good.
Oh, don't say I mean like you got more.
Well, I was curious. You seem to know about the Eurodance video.
Oh, that's boring.
Is it? Oh, all right.
You're talking about the... Life, it never die. Women yeah. are my favorite guy.
Yeah, which was, you know, it was good. It was a good little video.
Yeah, so that guy...
He made another one with a different girl.
Same song,
which apparently
girl.
Is a bit, and I didn't get it at
okay,
first.
He's
I'm
done it.
Dumb.
He's done it three times now with a different girl every time, and people were complaining about they recast the original girl, and I don't think any of that outrage is organic, because I can't imagine anyone actually giving a shit. So I think it is just
well played, though. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's guerrilla marketing for this single he has coming out. And here's the thing about that content creator. I've seen a couple of his other videos and he is actually really fucking funny.
I mean, yeah,
he's really good. He does a character called the like evangelical Jew. And it's very funny watching someone do evangelical talking, you know, like but with Jewish stuff because I don't know if you've ever read like the first four books of the Bible, but it's nonsense. And so it's it is just a really funny video where you realize, oh yeah, that's right, Jews don't have evangelizers for this yeah. very reason.
Yeah, happen. You try to read that and you're like, wait. Yeah. Does this mean that he fucked his kids? And they're like, either that or he fell asleep. We're not really sure.
We're not sure. We haven't like the Aramaic is a little hazy, but yeah. Something like that.
We don't know what all those words mean anymore.
The point is you need to love your family. But yeah, no,
I did.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
I mean, I was just gonna say he's very funny. I when I watched that other video with him doing the song, I was just like, God, yeah, this guy is. Really good. You got a funny song. He got a couple of funny videos on the old TikTok. I think he's great. And then people started yelling at him because he recast the thing. And I was like, this doesn't seem real. Why the fuck would anyone give a shit?
Because yeah, they liked the video and they didn't want to see it, you know, get retconned by Disney or whoever does that now.
I can't imagine anyone gives that much of a shit. But then again, it is the internet. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know that guy, but the last I did, Vince, I did see the things you sent out. I was intrigued by this Wayne Brady article.
Oh, okay. You want to know why about Wayne Brady coming out as a pansexual?
What?
I do, because you preface it, and then I have some questions because I think I read the whole thing, but I had so many missing pieces by the end of it. I was very confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully understand. Wayne Brady, the host of Let's Make a Deal, came out as pansexual in a lengthy first-person piece published in People. Brady, 51, shared a simple working definition of pansexuality. Bisexual with an open mind.
Wait, what does that mean?
I feel like they're already open mind. I don't know.
You, yeah, that just means like I'm open to, you know.
Oh, trans people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Which... Yeah, I mean, just be about that life. Like, give a handy to a nice-looking gal.
Just say, I like getting my dick sucked. I mean, we get it.
Yeah, I like getting my dick sucked, and I like sucking dick. And,
here's
if you're
where
hot, you're hot. I get that, but...
The thing is, I don't even want to get lost in the conversation about pansexuality, because I read the article, and it said, he said that while he's been attracted to men before, he's never dated one. So he's 51. He's never even... Now, has he hooked up with guys, or are they just saying dating? Because it seems like... It just seems a little convenient to be 51 and being like, I'm not even out here hooking up with other people, but I am pansexual because my message is I love everyone.
Yeah. Sure. It does seem like you're kind of like, yeah, that's... That is... Isn't that stolen valor? You have to at least suck a little bit. Dick.
I know. He said he was treated for love addiction. Quote, what am I looking for in these people that I can't find in myself? He remembered asking himself. And then leaving a wake of people and never being satisfied, and then going back to being lonely. Fast forward to recently asking myself the question, Wayne, are you gay? And the answer was no, because despite having been all of these...
Hell no! The answer was fuck that!
Get that Bud Light out of my face, you fucking pussy! Face.
America! America!
Despite having been in all of these unsuccessful relationships and now dealing with what I know can be diagnosed as love addiction, I started to go, okay, I'm feeling something, but I just don't know how to get there. And then I felt like a fraud. He said that while he's been attracted to men before, he's never dated one and tried in earlier years to shove the feeling aside.
Oh, dated. Okay. Dated is different.
Okay, so he might be... Okay, if he's fucking dudes, I retract
it. He just
it.
Has
as
not
long
been
as he's
in
about
a relationship.
That, yeah. Okay, that's okay.
I assume unless he's like weirdly deciding to do a euphemism there, which would seem like a strange placement for a euphemism.
Are you familiar with love addiction? Because this was the first time I had seen it.
Love addiction.
Is that from the Robert Palmer song?
Yes, it is. No, it is.
He decided that he might as well face it, you know, and that's why
he's
this.
He's addicted to love. No, mm-hmm. I got it immediately.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's more an achy, breaky heart thing. it is like, so sex and love addicts is kind of like, it's a joint thing. They do separate them in like, you know, some people talk about love addiction specifically as unrelated to sex. It's just kind of, I've never been to any of them meetings, but I assume the difference is the compulsion is less about fucking and the compulsion is more about just obsessing over someone and immediately falling in love with someone and being, you know, fucking crazy.
So I found the explanation for all of this.
But I already did it.
In the second to last.
Oh, no, I already did it.
No, I found the explanation for why he's written this essay in the third to last paragraph of this article. Brady shares a 20-year-old daughter with his ex-wife, Mandy Takeda, and both have been supportive. He is also considered a co-parent to Takeda's new baby with partner Jason Fordham, and then highlight this part, and the family is currently filming a reality series about their home life for Hulu.
Oh. He's trying to get that pansexual bump.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, any bump will do. Any bump in a storm, you know?
And then he says in the last one, if I'm healthy, then I can go on stage at Let's Make a Deal and be the best Wayne Brady that everybody wants and expects.
Apparently that show's still on. I did not know that, but that's great for them.
Dude, I love it. He was like, as soon as Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, he's like, I'm in. Family. We're making content
to be like, man. I need to go through therapy so I can really show up to do my important work as a game host is so fucking insane to me.
Telling women to open briefcases.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not Let's Make a Deal, is it?
I don't know. It sounds that's Deal or No Deal, but whatever. Yeah,
whatever.
That's a different deal. It's a deal show. That's the point. I love that, you know, for a second there, I thought this was going somewhere, not fucking a promo adjacent,
right?
But of course it is a promo. Listen, first of all, sex addiction, love addiction, you know, those are real things. I just always, as someone who doesn't know much about it, there's always part of me that's a little bit like, I feel like if I were Wayne Brady, I would also be fucking a lot.
Yeah.
And I would have trouble maintaining relationships from all of the just,
he's got a
excess
cross,
pussy.
I just feel like
classic
any man,
cross-demographic appeal for that guy.
Yeah, any man who's like impromptu burst out into song on multiple different programs has a love addiction, do they not? Like,
right.
Like
clearly.
Yeah. That's someone who needs to be loved. That's how that works.
Let's make a deal. I've got a dick and you're going to suck it.
Yeah,
how about that?
I mean, he is very attractive. He's a very good singer. He's very funny. He's like all the things. He got a daytime Emmy. You know.
Yeah, multiple threat. He's
a multiple threat.
Classic four quadrant guy.
Yeah, it's like
five
when
tool,
you know,
five tool guy in the bedroom. You know,
he's pan talented.
Yeah, yeah. What what I will say is what I loved about the Tiger Woods like doc. What I learned about Tiger Woods was so much more interesting because I was like, yes, this is that real, real sex addiction that I'm talking about. Not just some guy who like can fuck a lot and so does. A guy who loves fucking so much that he's just like, I have to pay for it. And I don't even really like, I want to fuck, but then I also wanted that to convince them that I love them. Like that is a sickness. You know
I like
what I
that
mean?
Doc because
that's
like,
a sickness.
They were like, hey, we're going to go into his sex addiction so we can get away with completely glossing over his, you know, drug addiction.
Well, right. Yeah, of course. Well, they can't, you know, they still got to sell shoes or whatever. But, you know, a guy who still fucks is still selling shoes. A guy who's on a lot of fucking, you know, Percocets sells less shoes. But
yeah,
because
people will go, oh, he just fucked too much? God.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's not great, God but I'd probably do it.
Four back surgeries from all that fucking.
Yeah, it must. That's what it is. He blew his own back out after blowing out them back walls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you know,
he had to get bussy replacement surgery. total bussy reconstruction.
Yeah, reconstructing a bussy. Oh God, we used a pig bussy in order to replace it. Oh my God.
Scientists in Denmark have created the first artificial bussy completely in a lab.
Yes, we have made a new bussy for people who fucked so good that they blew out their own bussy. That's what Denmarkians sound like, right?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, all right. Well, that's been a Frogcast for sure. Joey Avery, thank you so much for coming back on the Frot and talking about stuff with us.
Yeah. This was great. Thank you for having me. It has been too long. And then, I mentioned it. I'm on tour, so Milwaukee, Charlotte, Wilmington, Raleigh, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit,
hell yeah,
Indianapolis, St. Louis, Chicago, Houston, San Antonio, Toronto, Nashville, Bloomington, Denver,
Jesus,
Atlanta, New York,
boy,
Philly, Boston.
Your arm's going to be tired.
Boy,
there it is.
You should say that.
I will. At every single one. And I'm going to list them again. No, I'm just kidding. Just joeyavery.com for that. And then I did drop a little 8-minute stand-up clip on YouTube that drastically underperformed, but it's all about tearing my Achilles twice from playing pickleball. So go to my YouTube to check that
shit
out.
Oh man, they do say that the pickleball players scream a lot, make a lot of noise. And was it just you?
It was just me going, yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to need to reconstruct my pussy.
Reconstruct my pussy.
It was a lot of writhing more than screaming.
Yeah. Oh, so go to joeyavery.com. If you heard your city in that list of tour dates, please go buy your tickets now, joeyavery.com. And also, we'll put a link to your stand-up clip that is underperforming. And you know what? We'll add a couple hundred new views.
I would love that. And hey, for the tour, tickets are very available. So come on out.
Yeah, buy them, buy them, buy them. Buy them now. We're going to sell them out with the Frogcast. All right. Thank you so much for coming on. Patreon.com/Frogcast. Frogcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments. Oh, and sorry, before we we go, I have one date to
Barbie movie, which I'm seeing again. No, sorry.
I'm going on a date. See Barbie. Come to the Punchline in San Francisco, October 17th. Francesca, my wife, and I are going to be headlining a Tuesday there. So
fun.
It's fun times, one night only. Come see a wife and husband and possibly our baby do stand-up.
The first fully consensual stand-up comedy duo.
Nice. Yep.
Fully consensual. Now I'm just thinking about Jerry Stiller and his wife and it not being consensual.
I'm thinking about the Sklar brothers.
Yeah.
What's happening backstage? Yeah.
One of the Sklars locked up in a cage. I don't want to do this anymore.
Dave is always always abusing Seth or whatever.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, show notes, you'll see the ticket link for that. Please come out. October 17th, San Francisco, 8 p.m., The Punchline Comedy Club. Frogkiss@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, and concerns. Vince, what is a Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, everyone, thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, good night and good chins.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.